And we are back. Welcome back to the Deep Press Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am Jesse Mapati. Ladies and gentlemen, this is probably the biggest sports weekend ever with Cincinnati when it comes to football as a sport. We got the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cincinnati Bearcats. Guys, I'm ready. I'm anxious. I'm excited. But I'm also expecting the disappointment, the heartbreak. This is why this podcast is named Depressed, because I'm always depressed, okay? I take medicine every single day because of this team, well, because of the Sports City. I really don't, but, you know, if I had prescription medicine for my depressed Cincinnati sports teams, I would have that. So, anyways, let's not talk about the sad or depressed. Right now, it's a good time to be a Cincinnati sports fan. The Cincinnati Bengals, your first place AFC North Cincinnati Bengals, annihilated the Ravens yet again, 41-21, this time at Paul Brown Stadium last Sunday. Season sweep of the Ravens. The Bengals are now 9-6 on the season. Like I said, they're in first place. And it's the Bengals' first winning season since the 2015 campaign. Round of applause for that. It's about time. A winning season happens with the Cincinnati Bengals. It's been a while. Oh, it's been 6 years. Finally. The Bengals knew, and I said this in the podcast last week, that this was the biggest regular season game at Paul Brown Stadium since 2015. And the Bengals answered the bell. So, well done. The Bengals are now alone in first place in the AFC North. Whew. Can you talk about QB1? He had a day, to say the least. Who's QB1? Joseph Burrow. Joe Burrow was incredible. 37 for 46. 525 passing yards and 4 touchdowns. Okay. Franchise record in passing yards in the game, obviously. Fourth highest passing yardage game when it comes to passing in NFL history. It's the NFL's 24th 500-plus passing yardage day. Joe Burrow is incredible. And I'll talk about more about Joe Burrow here in a minute, but I'm so glad that he is our quarterback. The Bengals did not screw that up, and I hope they don't screw him up. Because this guy, I'll talk about Burrow in a little bit. How about T. Higgins? After the Bengals' bye week, T. Higgins has been one of the best receivers in the league. He had a career day against the Ravens on Sunday. 12 receptions for 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, including an incredible double-mossed 52-yard catch reception before halftime. T. Higgins, he was drafted in the second round as the first pick of the 2020 draft. It still boggles my mind that T. Higgins was a second-round pick. Crazy. This guy was unbelievable as a collegiate player in Clemson. The Bengals got a steal in Higgins. Absolutely. Jamar Chase, like I said, he's having a great rookie year. Should be rookie of the year. Offensive rookie of the year. In this game, he had 7 receptions for 125 yards receiving. Tyler Boyd, 3 receptions for 85 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown did went 68 yards. Back-to-back weeks, Tyler Boyd has had 2 long touchdown receptions. So, by the way, TB, when he scored that touchdown last Sunday, he did a somersault. And listen, yes, he landed it, but let's not do that again because the way he landed, I was like, oh, God, the knees, the leg. But he was able to get back up and start celebrating mixing. So, we're good. We're good on there. But TB, let's not do that again, okay? No. Speaking of Joe Mixon, he had a great game in this one. He had 18 carries, only 65 yards on the ground, but he did have a touchdown. But he did well in the catching game, 6 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. So, way to go for Mixon. He had an ankle problem in the Denver game. Everybody was worried about him, but he was a full participant in practice last week, and he didn't show no ill effects of the ankle in this game. And I've been telling you guys, that this team is really good when they don't turn the ball over. Well, in this game, zero turnovers. This Bengals team had to just not turn the ball over. I'll give them one turnover. One or more, they're not winning the game. So, zero turnovers, the recipe, that's a winning recipe right there. Trey Hendrickson, another sack. This guy has just been an unbelievable offseason pickup. I definitely think he's underpaid. He has 11 sacks in a row. That's insane. Von Bell had his first interception of the season. And finally, the Bengals finally caught an interception. The defense. Then again, they had another drop pick in this game. I'll forgive them for that because we won handily. But still, it's about time the defense gets a turnover via interception. We have to catch those. When opportunity comes, when the opposing quarterback throws it to the defender, catch the ball, Bengals defenders. You got to catch the ball. So that was Von Bell's first pick, as I said, as a Bengal. That's only his second career interception. So, and also Kevin Huber. He didn't even punt the ball in this game. Beautiful. Kevin Huber had a day off, and he still got paid. So way to go, Kevin Huber. You didn't do anything, but hey, I want you to stay healthy because we're going to need you for these last two games. So here's some stats for your asses, all right? So the Bengals swept the Steelers and Ravens by a combined 147-58 this season. But for some reason, the Bengals cannot beat Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. It makes no sense. Oh, yeah, by the way, Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale. Before the game, so last week, he said that they will not be double-teaming Ja'Marr Chase. And then he said that they aren't ready to give Joe Burrow a golden jacket. The reason why he said that is because the Ravens were playing the Packers last weekend. And obviously, with Devontae Adams, who I believe is the best receiver in the league, and Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. So, you play the Bengals, you're playing against Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Those comments definitely came back to bite the Ravens defensive coordinator because Joe Burrow, he threw for 525 yards passing and 4 TDs, and Ja'Marr Chase had 125 yards receiving. So, I know Burrow said after the game that the comments by Martindale, it wasn't like he was offended, but I know he was. He had that smirk, and I believe he did use that as motivation. So don't piss off Joe Burrow. Don't piss off Ja'Marr Chase. Just saying. Also, only QB and running back duo in the league with 4,000 passing yards and 1,000-plus rushing yards so far this season. It's Joe Burrow. Right now, he has 4,165 yards passing. Mixon has 1,159 yards running. That's crazy. Those are only two QB running back duo in the league to have that right now. So it's incredible what the Bengals offense can do when they're clicking. And we got to give a shout-out to cornerback Eli Apple, his resurgence since the bye week. I know a lot of people, including myself, get a little bit antsy when Eli Apple allows a big play or misses a tackle, misses assignments, and all that stuff. But he's been one of the best cornerbacks in the league since the bye week. Here's his rankings. I always use Pro Football Focus, as you know. So he's number one in coverage grade, 88.6. He's number one in NFL passer rating against 11.0. He's number one in catch rate per target, 35%. So, Eli Apple, he's playing really good. And he struggled early, but like I said, since the bye week, he's been really good for us. And it's been a bounce back year for Eli Apple. Because when we signed him in the offseason, I think everybody's like, oh God, Eli Apple for real. But he's been other than Trey Henderson, he's been one of the most important signings the Bengals have had this season. So, way to go, Duke Tobin. They know how to sign some players. They know how to draft players. So, good for y'all, Apple. Now, among the receivers in the 2020 and 2021 drafts, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins rankings. Here's their rankings this season, okay? You ready for this? So, in receiving yards, Chase has 1,163 so far. That's good for number two. T. Higgins has 1,029. That's good for three. Touchdowns, Chase has 10. It's good for number one in the draft class. T. has 6, which is good for third. And Pro Football Focus receiving grade, Ja'Marr Chase has a 79.0, good for fifth. T. Higgins has an 85.4 grade, which is good for third. So, whoever's open, Joe Burrow is going to find a guy, either Chase, Higgins, or Boyd. So, the Bengals have the best receiver trio in NFL, period. I don't care what you guys say. Oh, well, are you sure? But yes, the Bengals have the best receiving core in the league. And the scary thing is, when it comes to NFL opponents, is that they're so hella young. And they're only going to get better. So, scary hours approaching in Cincinnati. Okay, let's talk about Joe Burrow, like I said earlier. This guy is just incredible, okay? So, in his last 5 games, per Pro Football Focus stats, Joe Burrow is number one in passing yards. 1,520 yards. He's number one in completion percentage, 72.9. That's ridiculous. He's number one in adjusted completion percentage, 82.7. He's number one in yards per attempt, 9.2. That's wild. And he has 15 big time throws, and he has a percentage of 8.5% big time throws. That's good for number one in Pro Football Focus grading. He has 3 turnover-worthy plays, which is 1.4%, number three. And this is a crazy stat, too. He has 13 touchdown passes of 30-plus yards. Big play Bengals. The big play Bengals. So Joe Burrow, he's getting the love that he deservedly deserves to get, because Cincinnati, small market, I get it. And with the draft class of Burrow and Herbert, Herbert playing in L.A. with the Chargers, bigger media, bigger market, he was going to get all the exposure. And it felt like Joe Burrow through the season this year was just flying under the radar. And Herbert was getting all the love. And now Burrow's getting all this love. And I'm just like, really, guys? Media sucks, okay? And I hate the media. I said that numerous times on this podcast. But Burrow and Herbert, if the Bengals would have got Herbert, I would have loved it. If the Chargers would have got Burrow, they would have loved it too. So both fan bases are happy with their quarterbacks. But I want Burrow and Herbert to equally get the praise and recognition they deserve. But I believe Burrow deserves it more because, I mean, the Bengals haven't had a winning season until this year in 6 years. Joe Burrow is coming back from a torn ACL and MCL. Okay? I don't think people realize that he's a year removed from that devastating injury? And he's putting stats right now that reads comeback player of the year. And he has MVP stats too, but he's not going to get MVP votes. But lately, he's playing like an MVP. So, to the media, I hate you guys, but give Joe Burrow the recognition that he deserves. So, this week has all been about the Bengals and Burrow. Continue that energy, okay? Keep the same energy, please. Thank you. All right, so Spur has 129 passing yards and 4 touchdowns away from breaking the Bengals' season record, single season record. The crazy thing is, guys, this is only year 2 for Joe Burrow. Greatest passing season in Bengals history, 54-year history. Period. So right now, as it looks, he's number 3 in single season passing yards right now with 4,165. He's number 3, as like I said, passing touchdowns. Right now, he has 30 through 15 games. That's wild. Andy Dalton is number one in single-season passing yards with 4,293. He set that mark in 2013. Then Andy Dalton's number two in this one as well, 4,165 yards in 2016. And then for touchdowns, Andy Dalton has the record at 33, set that in 2013. And then number two in the list is Carson Palmer, who had 32 in 2005. So Joe Burrow's on his way to just already smashing records in year two. And he's only going to get better. He's only going to get better. He played 8 games last year. This year is his first full season. So the Bengals got a good one. And like I said, the Bengals have to protect that man because he is such a prize. He's the guy for this city. He's the reason why there's hope in this city when it comes to the Cincinnati Bengals. Man, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Burrow. That's all I got to say. All right. Let's move on for the Ravens game, okay? Bengals got a big game this Sunday against the 11-4 Kansas City Chiefs, who are coming into Paul Brown Stadium this Sunday riding an 8-game winning streak. That game will be 1 p.m. on CBS. Lots on the line this game, okay? If the Bengals win this game, they win the AFC North. If they lose, I don't want them to lose because it'll be a potential win or die scenario in Cleveland against the Browns next Sunday. I don't want that shit. And probably the Bengals and Browns game will probably get flexed to a potential primetime game. Nope. The Bengals have to take care of the Chiefs this weekend. It's going to be hella hard, but they have to win. Zach Taylor and CJ Uzama said this week that this is a must win. And I'm with them. This is a must win. The Bengals have to win this game because I don't want them to be playing in a win or go home situation in Cleveland next weekend. No, no, no. And the Bengals, for some reason, like I said earlier, they struggle against the Browns. They beat up on the Ravens and Steelers, but they can't beat the Browns and Baker Mayfield. So I don't want that in my life. So Bengals have to beat the Chiefs this weekend. And it's going to be a tall order. So here are my hopes in this game, okay? DJ Reader, who did not play last weekend because of COVID. He's off the COVID list, so thankfully he's going to be playing on Sunday. We need him. He's like the run stopper of this team and one of the best players on this team. So he played defensive tackle, by the way. Also, before I said the good news, Jermaine Pratt, linebacker, who's been such a resurgent year this year. Maybe he's put on the COVID-19 list, unfortunately, this week. Hopefully, with the new protocols, he can register a negative test ahead of the game on Sundays. I don't think so. Last time I checked on Twitter is that he won't be available until Monday. So that means that Pratt will not be playing against the Chiefs on Sunday. But remember Logan Wilson, the Bengals linebacker? Yes, who's having a breakout year until he hurt his shoulder 3 weeks ago against the Chargers. He was a full participant in practice on Wednesday. That was the shock to all of us. I was like, wait, what? Zach Taylor said during the week that it's looking doubtful for Logan Wilson to play on Sunday. He was a full participant on Wednesday and on Thursday. So Logan Wilson's going to play on Sunday, guys, against the Kansas City Chiefs in the biggest game of the year. Whew. That was, oh man, are we actually getting some, like, is the tide turning in this city? Like, are we actually getting the good side? Like, the good luck? Now, when I say that, I don't say that with a lot of conviction because in the back of my mind, I'm just thinking of the worst because I always do. But having Logan Wilson back, especially how decimated the linebacker core has been the last couple of weeks. Oh, that's big for the Bengals defense. So big. Especially when you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce. Yeah, Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends in the league. He didn't play last weekend against the Steelers because he was on the COVID-19 list. But They said that he will play. So having Logan back, that will help when it comes to hopefully the Bengals can contain him. Because the Bengals this year, when it comes to the opponent's tight ends, they have not done well. It's been really bad, to say the least. So it's really big time the Bengals have Logan Wilson back. All right, so about them Chiefs, okay? Since their 3-4 start, Kansas City has won 8 in a row and already secured the AFC West title with an ass-whipping of the Pittsburgh Steelers last Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. Here's a note right here. The Bengals are 5-1 when they score at least 30-plus points. The only loss was to the fucking New York Jets on Halloween. I can never forgive Zach Taylor and Lou Amarunna for that. Goodness gracious. But the Chiefs are 1-3 when allowing 30 or more points. So, in order for the Bengals to win this game on Sunday, they have to go in a shootout with the Chiefs. I think they have to. Because you know Tennessee is going to score. In this game, it's up to the Bengals offense to match the Chiefs offense with points. Keep going. If they do that, the Bengals have a shot. Because when it comes to matchups with the Chiefs offense and the Bengals offense, it's even. And I think you can say the Bengals have the edge when it comes to a lot of the categories. Maybe you can say quarterback and give the edge to Mahomes. But lately, Burrow's been balling, playing like MVP. So that'd be interesting to see. So, like I said, Logan Wilson coming back. That's big. Khalid Kareem, who had a concussion in the Denver game, did not play last weekend. He'll be back. Like I said, Reader will be back. All of them back will be huge. So huge. And all hands on deck to knock off the best team in the AFC. And the favorites to win the Super Bowl right now. The Kansas City Chiefs. So you need to have your best stars. Your best players. Bengals have that, hopefully. You guys want my prediction for this game? I don't really do predictions on this podcast when it comes to my teams. But we're late in the season, and we got playoff implications, and I'm just saying, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to give you my prediction. So, Bengals, if they win this game, they have to score 30 or more points, and I think they will. And I think the defense will do just enough. And I'll say, Bengals 31, Chiefs 27. And you're probably thinking, wait, you're going to – with the Chiefs offense like that, they're going to score under 30 points. I think the Bengals defense will come up with a couple of turnovers in this game. And I think Joe Burrow is going to ride high from his breakout performance against the Ravens last Sunday. And the Bengals know how big this game is. I said last week that this is the biggest regular season game in the last, 6 years? This game against the Chiefs, this is the biggest home regular season game in 6 years. So, whoever is going to Paul Brown Stadium on Sunday, get there early, be loud. The Bengals, those players deserve a home field advantage. Get it done, Bengals. Get it done, fans. The Bengals win. AFC North title. Oh, that just sounds so good. So, hootay. I hope I'm right. Because when it comes to predictions, I'm not good. I'm not good at them, to say the least. All right. It is time. The Cincinnati Bearcats football team. The game is finally here. It is happening. Yes. It's finally happening. The number 4 seed in the college football playoff, the undefeated 13-0 Cincinnati Bearcats, taking on the number 1 seed and the defending national champions, Alabama Crimson Tide, at 12-1. Friday, 3:30 on ESPN, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic college football playoff semifinal game from Arlington, Texas, in Jerry World in AT&T Stadium. The Bearcats are 13.5-point underdogs. First group of 5 team to ever make the college football playoff. Alabama has won 3 of the college football playoff titles in the 7 years existence of the playoff. And like I said, they crushed Ohio State last year in the playoff to win the national title. You guys been waiting for this. Waiting for my keys. Waiting for prediction this game. Here's my keys, okay? Number one, the Bearcats can't let the moment get to them. Because you know there's going to be opening jitters the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes of this game. I just know it from the Bearcats side because this is the moment right here. Alabama, Nick Saban, they've been here before. The Bearcats haven't. So can the Bearcats contain their emotions, contain their jitters? They're going to have jitters. That's normal, okay? You're a human being. You're playing this big-ass spotlight. They're going to have jitters. I just hope that moment doesn't get too much for this team. Thankfully, Bearcats have like 30-plus seniors on this team. You just hope the senior leadership and the maturity of this team won't let them get caught up in the moment, you know. The moment won't be too big for them. So, protect the ball. Bearcats cannot have careless turnovers. Oh, any! You can't turn the ball over against Alabama. You're given one turnover against Alabama. If you turn the ball over more than one time, you're not winning this game. You're probably going to get blown out, period. So the Bearcats have to protect the ball. Also, they got to be disciplined when it comes to no stupid-ass penalties. Because this team, I love Luke Fickell. I love what he's doing with this program. Some of his teams, they can be undisciplined with some careless-ass penalties. So the Bearcats in this spotlight, I fear that they're going to have some undisciplined-ass penalties. You can't have that. You can't give Alabama's offense new life. Can't bail them out, period. So can't have careless penalties. The Bearcats have to rattle Bryce Young, Alabama's quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner. He's the fifth sophomore to win that award. Besides his amazing elite stats, it was his 97-yard touchdown drive in the Iron Bowl to tie the game against Auburn with less than 2 minutes left. It saved Bama's season, and I believe that touchdown drive, even though he had such a great game against Georgia in the SEC title game, I believe that drive against Auburn, I think that clinched the Heisman for him right there, because Alabama's offense was dead. I was watching that game. The first three quarters, didn't look good. It looked like Auburn was going to win that game. But that touchdown drive he had, 97 yards in that atmosphere, I was impressed. I was. So Bryce Young is good. He's the real deal. He has 43 touchdown passes to only 4 interceptions. And the thing is Bryce Young, he is good when he's out of pocket, when he's running. And when he throws the ball when he's running, it frees up his receivers. And the receivers are really fast. Bearcats have to rattle Bryce Young. It's up to the Bearcats defensive line with Curtis Brooks, Majay Sanders. They have to get pressure on Bryce Young. They can't. Bryce Young's going to have a field day on this Bearcats defense. One of the matchups that I'm really concerned this game is the Bearcats offensive line versus Alabama's defensive line. Alabama has his linebacker, Will Anderson Jr. He is a machine. He leads the nation in tackles for losses with 32.5 and sacks with 15.5. Oof, yeah. That scares me. Like, the Bearcats O-line, it's not bad, but it's okay. And you're playing against an Alabama defensive line that has NFL talent. It's gonna be a tall order for the Bearcats offensive line. If they can't protect Desmond Ridder, if they can't get Jerome Ford running the football, then it's gonna be a long day for the Bearcats O-line. And the Bearcats as a whole. So also, Desmond Ridder's legs is gonna be so important this game because I believe that if you can't protect Des, then Des will have to use his legs. And he is a very underrated runner when it comes to running the football. So I think his legs are going to be important. Jerome Ford, he's the Alabama transfer, but during the week, during the presser, he said that he doesn't like to be referred as the Alabama transfer. He is a Cincinnati Bearcat. I love that quote. Jerome Ford needs to have a big day in order for the Bearcats to hang around with Alabama. Bearcats also need a special team magic from Trey Tucker, a.k.a. the 99-yard kick return touchdown that he had at Indiana. I think Trey Tucker is going to be a factor in this game. If he can, he doesn't have to go all the way, but if he can get like a chunk of yards when it comes to the kick return, that's going to be so big. So the Bearcats need some special team magic. If it comes down to field goal kicking, the Bearcats are completely fucked. The Bearcats have used three kickers this year. All three kickers have combined to go 7 from 16 on field goals. Yeah, that's not going to work. No. If it comes down to kicking, yeah. No. Not happening. Tight ends Lenny Taylor and Josh Wiley must be factors. Not only receiving, but also blocking. Because Alabama is good in the D-line. Taylor and Wiley must have good blocking days. And the matchup, I think everyone is really intrigued. Sauce Gardner versus Jameson Williams. Sauce, he's likely going to be a first-round pick in next year's draft. He hasn't really got a lot of attention. In this game, he's going to get a lot with Jameson Williams, who is really good, really fast. He's so elusive. This is going to be good. Can Sauce live up to his name? Can he live up to the hype? Because I know Sauce is good. Don't get me wrong. He's good. But he hasn't really had a challenge. This is his moment right here. Prove what you got, Ahmad. Prove what you got. I know he can, but Jameson Williams he's another animal. So that's going to be big. I'm very intrigued by this matchup. I think we all are. Two future NFL players. It's going to be good. And Kobe Bryant, Jim Thorpe Award winner. I'm looking forward to his play. And also, like I said, the Bearcats offensive line, they have to have a day. Like I said, they have to get to Bryce Young in order for them to have a shot to win this game. Bama head coach Nick Saban, you give him 3 weeks to prepare for UC. That scares me. But also, you give Luke Fickell 3 weeks to prepare for Bama. So we'll see how that happens. This is such a great opportunity. Honestly, guys, during this week leading up to this game, like as soon as game week approached, I'm not like nervous. I'm just really excited because, yes, we're the underdogs. Yes, no one's picking us to win. But the Bearcats are playing with house money. But this Bearcats team, they want to win. And I want them to win. But it's not the end of the world they lose. It's not going to take away from the special season they had. I said before the season on my first podcast back in August, I said the Bearcats, they want to get in this moment, meaning get to the playoffs. They had to first beat Notre Dame in Indiana, go undefeated in conference play. You know, just with the distractions and everybody saying you have to win by this certain amount. I said that in my first podcast back in August. And I went back and listened to it, and I was like, wow, this team is actually, they're actually in the college football playoff. It's crazy. It's crazy to believe. Now, you guys expect me to have a prediction of this game. Okay, so I thought long and hard about this. I've had 3 weeks, okay? Two scenarios are going to happen, okay? Number one, Alabama just blows out UC. I hate saying that, but if Alabama is clicking the way they did against Georgia in the SEC championship game, then UC has no shot. But scenario number two, UC wins in a close one. Which one I'm taking? So in UC's biggest game ever, I picked Notre Dame in that game. Okay, I did. Now, this is the biggest game ever, because of the spotlight the Bearcats are in. So my prediction, okay, is Bearcats 33, Tide 28. Yes. Yes. Cincinnati is beating Alabama. Now, I'm laughing because I don't really say this with a lot of conviction, because in my heart, I'm saying 33-28, but my head is saying Alabama's going to roll over us. But you just never know. You just never know. So I'm picking Cincinnati. I'm picking my Bearcats to beat Alabama. David versus Goliath. Shock the world. Bearcats 33, Alabama 28. It's happening. Fuck it. It's happening. It's happening. Now, next week's podcast, I might come in very just... I probably start the podcast really quiet. Just say nothing. Because that's how I said I'm going to be. Or the Bearcats lose and the Bengals lose, I'm just going to start this podcast with saying that I'm very depressed. No, it won't take away the Bearcats special season. Like, if they lose tomorrow, like, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I'm going to cry. I'm going to be depressed forever. No, this has been a special season. It's just, this season has flown by. Like, it's been such a special journey for this team, for this program, for this university, for these fans. Like, I'm enjoying it, and I'm going to enjoy this game against Alabama. Whatever happens, happens. But for some reason, I think the Bearcats are going to win against Alabama. I don't know why. And for some reason, I think the Bengals are going to beat the Chiefs. I don't know. Is the tide turning, like I said? Is this, are the sports gods finally saying, Cincinnati, you've endured so much pain, you diehard fans, aka me, you've endured so much that you deserve this moment. So I'm picking the Bengals and the Bearcats to win in the biggest Cincinnati sports weekend ever. Now, the Chiefs can definitely win. Bama's going to blow us out. Those things can happen. And, you know, yeah, like, both teams can lose. But I wouldn't mind if UC loses and then the Bengals win. Or UC wins and the Bengals lose. But, guys, the city is due. We endure so much, so freaking much. We're due to celebrate, to get wild, to cry even more. We deserve this moment. We deserve 2 wins this weekend. Okay? So, damn it, the Bearcats are winning. Damn it, the Bengals are winning. I said it, okay? I will see you guys next week. I hope I'm in a good mood in the next week's podcast, all right? Bearcats, tied, 3:30 Friday on ESPN. Watch the damn game. Bengals, Chiefs, Sunday, 1 p.m. on CBS. Guys, it is happening, okay? We are due, okay? And I'm watching the movie Miracle before the game. Yes, the USA hockey team that shocked the world and beat the Soviet Union. If you don't watch the whole movie of Miracle, damn it, watch the clip of Herb Brooks giving that team that speech before they went out to the rink. Okay? He said that, here's his quote. He said that the Soviets, if Soviets played USA, I'm trying to remember this shit, sorry. Nine times out of 10, they will beat USA. But not this game. So, if Alabama played UC 10 times, I think Alabama wins them all. But not Friday. Not Friday, goddammit. So, you can either watch the full movie of Miracle before the game or watch that speech Herb Brooks gave to his team. It's on YouTube, okay? I love you guys. I thank you guys so much for supporting this podcast. I'm fired up. Now, all of this can definitely change in less than 48 hours. I can just be like, ugh, it's the norm. But whatever happens this weekend, this is such a great time to be a Cincinnati sports fan because we don't get these opportunities. So win or lose, like, this is the hype leading up to this. It's just, I love it. I love it. Bearcats are playing for a shot to be in the national title game. That's wild. And the Bengals are playing to win the AFC North. These things don't happen often this city. So I'm taking advantage of it. And you should well, and you should as well too. That made no sense. But whatever, guys, I can't even talk right now because I'm really hyped. But like I said, this energy can be very low in the next 48 hours. But let's think positive. Think positive. I love you guys. I will see you guys next week. Hopefully, it's a great podcast because I'll be in a happy mood regardless. No, we'll see. My mood changes. Anyways, see you guys later. Peace.